Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Well, I woke up this morning looking around for my shoe. You know by then I got those hell walking blues. Up this morning, I was looking around for my shoe.
Bluesman Roy Rogers may think that he has the walkin' blues, but he's got nothing on George Sandel. Imagine walking 2,175 miles up the sides of mountains, down into valleys, over streams and rivers, across 14 states, almost the entire length of the eastern seaboard of the United States, and imagine walking that distance in one trip at the age of 62. George Sandel is a Rib Mountain resident who joined a select but growing group of Americans who accomplished something special, a through hike of the Appalachian Trail. And he's written a book about his personal odyssey, The Road to Damascus and Beyond. He's here to talk about the experience, how he prepared for it, how he overcame the many challenges along the way, and how his life was changed in the process. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. And as always, we want to hear from you. Do you have any questions for George? If you're over the age of 60, you may want to ask him how he got in shape for the journey. You may want to ask him about the trail itself and the commitment to conservation and preserving the environment that went into its creation. You may want to share your experiences with the Ice Age Trail, the Lake Superior Trail in the Porcupine Mountains, and the importance of preserving local heritage. If you want to talk about hiking the Appalachian Trail yourself, and I imagine there are a few of you listening right now who have attempted to hike at least a portion of it, we really want to hear from you. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's toll-free from anywhere you're listening at 1-800-780-9742. George, your book is subtitled A Reawakening of the Spirit by Through Hiking the Appalachian Trail. This really was kind of a spiritual journey for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely was. It involves my wife. It was kind of a recommitment to her that I would take on a project like this and see it through. And the book deals with the contrast and commitments between her and my marriage and the commitment of hiking the Appalachian Trails. That's what the meaning of the reawakening of the spirit means.
But your wife didn't go with you.
No, she's not a hiker. We're totally different in our interests, but she certainly supported me.
Oh, she's got to be the most wonderful woman in the world for letting you do that. For how long did it take? 5 months to hike the distance?
The actual day count was 164 days, which means that I was hiking about 144 days. It was 20 days or 0 days, as they call them on a trail. Where I didn't hike. So, yeah, about 5 months.
Long time to be away from your soulmate.
Well, I know you read the book, and I know on one of the first pages I mentioned how she was almost giddy the day I left. We drove to Atlanta. My youngest son and his wife were living in Atlanta at the time. And so that was kind of the staging area. Well, the drive from Ocala, Florida, where we lived at that time, to Atlanta, she was just beside herself. And I thought, man, I guess I ought to be going on trips like this more often. One of the reasons was that there was a surprise. Our middle kid, who lives in Missouri, he also was there in Atlanta to see me off. So and that I didn't know until we got there.
Explain the title, The Road to Damascus, which has religious overtones, but it means something very specific for those who have actually hiked the trail.
It's kind of a dual meaning. I like the term, The Road to Damascus. Damascus, Virginia is 460 miles on the trail. It's right after you entered the state of Virginia. And so if anybody makes it, that's attempting a through hike, makes it to Damascus, usually that means that there's a pretty good chance that they'll complete a through hike. You've made your decisions as to whether your body and your mind can, you know, withstand the abuse, because it is kind of a form of abuse. And so the title, it has sort of a dual meaning, and I liked the term, and the road, the term road is a little misleading, but I just liked, I liked the title. So,
and some of it was a spiritual quest, so it works on two different levels. I want to take a phone call right now. Jason in Ashland is on a cell phone. I want to take him before we lose him. Jason, you're on Route 51.
Hi there. I guess I would just like to put in a little plug for the North Country National Scenic Trail that goes through northern Wisconsin here, from North Dakota to New York, 4,600 miles, and it's about 50% completed right now.
Have you hiked sections of it?
Yeah, sure have, and I'm also a member of one of the chapters that maintains and puts the trail in.
What's the name of the trail again?
The North Country National Scenic Trail.
North Country National Scenic Trail. And is there an organization that people can contact if they want to find out more about that?
Yeah, for sure. It's North Country Scenic Trail Association, NCTA.org.
Do you have a question you'd like to ask George?
No, congratulations. I've read a lot about the AT, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
Have you ever tried it yourself, Jason?
No, I have not.
Well, but it sounds like you've hiked sections of this North Country Trail, and you've certainly probably checked out some of the other trails in Wisconsin. How about the Ice Age Trail?
Yep, Ice Age Trail, and also hiked a lot in the Porkies as well.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for the phone call. If you'd like to join the conversation, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. The Ice Age Trail, the trails through the Porcupine Mountains, we've got this other trail going through the northern tier of the states, more than 4,000 miles, according to Jason from Ashland. Hiking is something that's catching on with a lot of people, George.
Yes, it really is. I'm familiar with that trail. I wanted to put a plug in for the Ice Age Trail. I am a maintainer. I've been working with a gentleman named Dick Pernsteiner through the summer. We've done some maintenance work. And actually, all of these trails fall in the National Scenic Trail realm, which includes the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, the Appalachian Trail. So one of the unique things about the Ice Age Trail is it's one, I think it's the only one that is all within one state of Wisconsin.
And they keep adding new sections to it, and a lot of work goes into maintaining it.
There's probably more like preliminary work, things that we don't appreciate that is involved, obtaining the land or getting easements and that type of stuff. The Appalachian Trail, it's all done by volunteers. There are, of course, employees, but most of the real work, the building of the trail, maintaining them, is done by volunteers.
We're talking to George Sandel. He did a through hike of the Appalachian Trail, more than 2,100 miles at the age of 62. He's got a new book called The Road to Damascus. He's got a website called georgesandel.com. We're going to be talking to him about how he prepared for it and some of the interesting people and places that he encountered on his trek. We do want to hear from you, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm walking, hear the thing I'm talking. By you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking to George Sandel, who has a book called The Road to Damascus and Beyond, about hiking the Appalachian Trail at the age of 62. And let me get those phone numbers out again, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. If you've hiked the Appalachian Trail, we really want to hear from you so you can share some of your experiences with all of us who are listening in this afternoon. And, George, you've got a book signing Saturday at Yonke Books in downtown Wausau. When is that taking place?
Saturday, October 24th from 12 to 2.
Okay, so that's the day after tomorrow if you would like to meet George Sandel. George, how many people hike the trail and how many of them are senior citizens?
Most of the hikers that I ran into were probably recently retired, a lot of military people. I would say the average age is probably going to be 40 or higher. There were a lot of younger people. One of the gentlemen that I met had thru-hiked it with his wife when he was 70, and he was 80, and he was attempting it again so that he could qualify as being the oldest that had ever thru-hiked it. He made it, I think the last time I saw him, he had made it to Damascus, Virginia, and he was looking pretty beat, and I think he was starting to wonder, you know, whether it was a good idea or not.
Why did you do it?
I remember at one time telling my wife, Chris, that it no longer was an option, that it wasn't something I wanted to do. It was something that I had to do. And I don't know. I've been through so many midlife crises that maybe it was one of those. I don't know.
Did you ever feel like giving up?
Absolutely. Every day.
But you didn't.
Well, I know you read the book in Harper's Ferry, which is the psychological halfway point because it's not quite halfway. I sat in an old hotel there. It's a very nice place to stay, on a veranda, and looked out over the Potomac River looking at Maryland. And I just wanted to go home. I was tired. I had never known tired before I attempted this. And I just wanted to go home. I even went to the bus depot and got the price for a ticket back to Ocala, Florida, where we lived at the time. And I won't get into the, it's kind of a long story, the catalyst that finally got me going again. But one of the things I thought about as I looked at Maryland is that it's the shortest state. It's only 40 miles across Maryland. Then you're in Pennsylvania. So I said,
so if you can make it into Maryland, chances are you can make it through one more state and make Pennsylvania.
That pretty much became the mantra for the rest of the hike.
261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Jack in Eagle River. Jack, you're on Route 51.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to ask if you ever hiked at night when you were on that trail.
I was just talking to my wife about this earlier. There were a lot of younger people that did. I didn't. I had enough trouble standing up during the day.
Well, the reason I ask is I wondered because so many of the wildlife or critters are active at night, and I would think that that might be a matter of concern as you hike along, you know, at that time.
I know that when I was in my tent, I stealth camped most of the time, which meant wherever I could find a place where I could adhere to leave no trace and not tramp down too much stuff. Deer would come very close to the tent, probably within 10, 15 feet a lot of times. I saw 13 bear. Those were during the day, and I'm not sure a bear is a nocturnal animal purely.
Yeah.
Jack, do you do any hiking yourself?
A limited amount up around Eagle River. Of course, we have the National Forest. And we try to take advantage of that a bit, but we don't do as much as we should.
I don't think most people do as much as they should. Can you imagine trying to hike the entire length of the Appalachian Trail, 2,100 miles?
No, in fact, I'd like to hear him tell us where it starts and where it ends.
Well, why don't we get going on that? That's
okay.
just a couple of the questions that I've got for him. So, Jack, thanks so much for the phone call, and George, I guess where it starts or where it ends depends on where you start or where you end. You decided to go from south to north. Now, why was that?
It's actually easier to go from south to north because it gives you a chance to sort of break in. It's not the north, New Hampshire and Maine are by far the hardest parts of it. It starts officially, the Appalachian Trail starts on Springer Mountain in Georgia and officially ends on Mount Katahdin in Maine. But there's also what they call the Approach Trail, which starts at Amicalola Falls State Park, which is an additional 8.8 miles. And you come right out of the starting blocks with a 2,000-foot vertical climb. and then you're officially at the start of the trail.
And you being a glutton for punishment, decided to do the approach trail before you did anything else.
I was going to do it the right way.
How heavy was your pack?
Somebody else asked me that just recently, and I don't think I ever really weighed it, and I didn't weigh myself either. I was scared to. I say that it was 47 pounds average. Leaving Monson, Maine, going through the 100-mile wilderness, it probably weighed closer to 60 pounds.
Because you had to carry more in with you. There wouldn't be an opportunity for you to get off the trail and get additional supplies.
Yeah, that 100 miles, there are no places to stop. There's one there, but it's traditional that once you start on it, you go the whole way. So there I had more food.
What did you carry with you? What did you eat while you were on the trail?
Pretty much standard trail food, beef jerky. I had these prepackaged pasta meals that you just add water to, raisins, peanut butter, and usually they were kind of extravagant items, but like it's sardines and kipper snacks and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
How did you prepare for this at the age of 62?
Very carefully. One of the things I told myself is that this indeed was going to be something that I was going to do. So I started proclaiming it to numerous people so that I couldn't like back out. I bought all of the equipment because I didn't have backpacking equipment. I bought the set of maps, which is $225. There's 41 maps that it takes to provide the profiles and good maps that you would know where you're at. And then also, before I left, I had packed up 21 boxes, what their jargon calls mail drops. Mm-hmm. And in those boxes was additional food, toiletries, and the maps. They were neatly stacked in our guest bedroom. And this is standard procedure on the Appalachian Trail. If you mail these to post offices along the trail, then you can come. It says hold for hiker on the box. Then you can just go in there and pick them up, just prove, you know, that you are that person. So Chris, every time we talk, she was working nights and I was working days that time, and I probably talked to Chris more when I was on the trail than when we were together in Ocala. But I would call her every chance I got to a phone and then tell her to send which boxes.
Now there's a whole culture that's grown up along the Appalachian Trail. You talk about the custom of mailing things to the 21 post offices. There's trail jargon, and there's something that I was never aware of, which is that everybody has a trail name. It's almost like, you know, you have your own name when you're on the internet, and yours was
Old Smoky Lonesome.
Old Smoky Lonesome. How did you come up with that?
One of my favorite movies is Fried Green Tomatoes, and there's a wily old character in there. I think he's just called Smoky Lonesome, and I added the old, kind of to go with the Smoky Mountain National Park. That was part of the reason too. But he was just a character that I probably looked as bad as he did in that movie.
Yeah, you go into the woods for 5 months straight, and boy, you don't know what you're going to look like by the time you come out the other side. You had a lot of maps with you, and you had a career as a map maker with the U.S. Geological Society before you did this. How did that prepare you mentally for what you were going to do?
As a map maker, I spent a lot of time on trails, a lot of times to get to features that we were mapping, but a lot of times we were actually mapping those trails for the maps. Developed a love for trails, and I got paid for it working with the government making maps, so this gave me a chance to do something that it was just kind of an extension of that.
And you were really kind of a vagabond, weren't you, in terms of having to pick up and move to a new place wherever you had a new assignment with the Geological Society?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked with the U.S. Geological Survey from 1959, and I retired in 1994. The first 24 of those were in the field, which took me to 19 different states. When you're a map maker, once you're done there, it's time to go someplace else. In roughly 70 different towns. This, when we moved to Wausau here 3.5 years ago, this will be the 12th town that I've lived in Wisconsin.
And your excursions even took you to Antarctica for a while. Tell us about that.
Well, that was kind of a ploy on my own. I was in the office from 83 to 94, and I was not, I didn't make a, for being that I had a background in the field, the office was just not my thing. So I volunteered for everything. And one of the things that came down the pipe was a volunteer to go to Antarctica. So yeah, that's the reason I went. It was a great assignment.
You ended up, away from the base camp, correct, in order to do what you had to do down there?
In Antarctica?
Right.
Well, I kind of call it our VIP thing. We flew out by helicopter to where we had to occupy stations. We were establishing horizontal control on photo-identifiable points. So we were flown out in helicopters, and we always were back at base camp at night.
But nonetheless, you got to see an awful lot of the country, and finally you decided you were going to hike the Appalachian Trail. You had to be in pretty good physical shape to do it.
Well, I thought I was in shape to hike the trail, and I found out that I was trying to train in the state of Florida, and there's really nothing there that resembles mountains. And training in flatland versus mountainous country is a totally different thing. It didn't take me long, probably 2 or 3 weeks, before I realized that going up mountains, I was going to have to kind of establish my own technique for doing that.
It's a tough 2,175 miles. George Sandel, he thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail at the age of 62. He's got a book called The Road to Damascus and Beyond. We want to hear from you, especially if you've hiked the Appalachian Trail. Call us up so you can share your experiences. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this news.
The staff at WPR's Audience Services is knowledgeable, friendly, and helpful. They often know the answer to your question right away. If they don't, they'll work hard to get the answer and get back to you. To send an email, visit WPR.org and click on Listener Feedback.
On top of old Smoky, all covered in snow, I lost my true lover by courting too slow.
Our guest today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio is George Old Lonesome Smoky Sandel, who thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail, all 2,100 miles of it, at the age of 62. He's got a book out called The Road to Damascus and Beyond. He'll be at Yankee Books in Wausau Saturday from noon until 2, signing his books and talking about his experiences, which is what he's doing with us right now. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We do want to hear from you. 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area or anywhere you're listening. 1-800-780-9742. We particularly want to hear from you if you're a hiker or if you have done what George has done and either thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail or attempted to hike part of it. We do have a caller on the line right now. Let's go to Rich in Edgar. Rich, you're on Route 51.
Hello.
Hello, Rich.
I have hiked the Appalachian Trail and twice, once as a section hiker and once as a through hiker in 2004.
So you made it all the way?
Yeah. I was 50 the second time. And you're in a lot better shape when you get done than when you start. But I just wanted to comment on the trail has almost this language of its own with slack packers and blue blazers and yellow blazers and North bounders are nobles and south bounders are sobos, and you have this language almost all of its own.
First off, congratulations, Rich. I always thought that section hiking, the logistics were harder, and then also you have to come back every year. I thought that would be harder to do than through hike, but that's pretty impressive that you've done both.
Yeah, the reconditioning, if you're a section hiker, is you have to go through that painful process each time. And I don't think there is a good way to train for it other than starting out, you know, at a reasonable pace and you get going.
Yeah, I think if I had it to do over again, I think I overtrained. I bought a 40-pound bag of sand, and I had an old external frame backpack that I carried around my neighborhood. I'm sure a lot of the neighbors were wondering what was going on. But I think I overtrained, and then usually when I got back to the house, I would do like 20, 25 deep knee bends with that pack on. And actually, it seemed to me like I went backwards, that I was stronger when I started than when I finished. I know one thing, when I got done, and I didn't realize it till I got home, I couldn't jump. I couldn't jump 2 inches off the ground, and I couldn't run. But now I'm back okay again, so that came back.
Well, it's good to hear your stories.
Rich, what's your favorite part of the trail?
Well, I guess it would be New Hampshire and Maine. It's some of it's above tree line, even though the elevations are much lower than out west because of the, well, variety of factors, including the weather. I saw moose, you know, I in the tent at night. Moose almost brushed up against my tent one night. As your guest says, deer come right up to your tent in Virginia. I was in the middle of a large herd of deer. You have all these bizarre experiences. But I would say the north, and next time I would like to hike it southbound. In other words, start in Maine and go south.
Yeah, one of the things about that is the black fly problem, because you, yep, in order to have enough time to through hike it, you're going to have to deal with black flies up in the northern part. But hey, we'll have to get together sometime and tell some old good old AT stories.
Yep, thanks for the program.
Yeah,
Rich, thanks for calling. And speaking of hiking from north to the south, we've got Anne in St. Germain on the line. And apparently she did exactly that. Ann, you're on Route 51.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. How are you doing?
Great. Yeah, my husband and I actually, when I was in grad school, we lived out in Maine for a while, and we heard about hiking the trail and decided that that was something that we wanted to do. And so we started in Maine, since we lived there, and hiked southbound. And luckily, we started early enough in May that we didn't encounter a lot of black flies. It was still a little too cold, and the black flies weren't out. So we were kind of lucked out in that department.
What year did you do it?
We did it in 2002.
Oh, okay. What were your trail names?
Mine was Butterball, and that was just a nickname that I had for my... It wasn't... See, we hiked... the way that we hiked, we didn't encounter really any other hikers for the majority of the time because we were ahead of most of the southbound hikers. And so we didn't have the opportunity of, you know, getting trail names from the other hikers like a lot of the northbounders do.
Yeah.
We gave ourselves our own names.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My husband's was the Kwaki, and he was... It's a word in the Abenaki Indian language that means the one who is broken away. So we thought it was sort of meaningful.
I talked to a lot of southbounders. I was coming through, I guess I started meeting them probably in Vermont. But I was trying to gauge, I wanted to be at the base of Katahdin by the middle of September. And so every southbounder I ran into, I would ask them what day they left and then do my math to see if I was going to make it. And then, of course, you have to gauge that with a difficulty because as you get farther north and, of course, into New Hampshire and Maine, whatever your capabilities were before that, they're going to be less. But it was always interesting to talk to the southbounders. They were kind of different than the north bounders. I think I always figured they were a little tougher than us south sobos.
It was definitely a different. You could tell that we had a different perspective on the hike than a lot of the north bounders that we met. We didn't get to spend a lot of time with any one group of hikers because we only saw them basically in passing and sometimes at the shelters, and so. A lot of them were more. A lot of them tried to scare us about the Pennsylvania rocks and things like that. And then we.
But you'd already come through the tough part, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And what did you get out of the experience? What do you think you really gained in terms of having done something like this?
Well, it was. We still say my husband and I still say that it was the best experience that we had in our lives so far, and it was just wonderful to not have the pressures of ordinary life. You know, you were free, and it was really an amazing feeling just to not have all those worries that you normally do when you're working and you know, things day to day at home. And
would you do it again?
Oh, definitely. We love long distance hiking. We're sort of addicted now, and so we've done several other long trails since then.
And thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it. Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking to George Sandel, who thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail at the age of 62. His book is called The Road to Damascus and Beyond. Our phone numbers, if you've done this, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. Regional Talk Radio. George Sandel with us. You can check him out on georgesandel.com. The book on the road to Damascus or the road to Damascus and beyond. He will be at Yankee Books in downtown Wausau talking to folks and signing his book from noon to 2 on Saturday. George, we've heard a lot about black flies. Now, most of us who've grown up in the North Woods are kind of familiar with that particular nuisance. So, you know, maybe we've got a little bit of a head start on some people who might be attempting this.
I probably know more about that than I want to know, and you know how to deal with them. As a surveyor and map maker, of course, we dealt with that all the time. I don't remember really having a particular problem with black flies. And back to the Appalachian Trail, gnats were with us. They only bit at certain times, but they would hover around your eyes and just drive you crazy, and then they'd do their little kamikaze dive, and they'd end up in your eye, and you seem like you were always trying to dig one out of your
mosquitoes.
Eye. Mosquitoes really weren't a problem because most of the time you kept moving, and yeah, that's one of the secrets to avoid that.
How much of this trail is wilderness, hiking a dirt path through the proverbial green tunnel, and how much of it is something else?
It's pretty much all wilderness, but you do go through a lot of towns. Logistically, it's the easiest trail to hike, and as far as the actual hiking itself, it's the hardest. You go either through or close to 21 different towns, and so to answer your question, I would say it's maybe 80% plus wilderness, and you see a little bit of everything. I mean, you see a certain amount of urban areas. One thing that amazed me, it didn't seem like I could ever get away from hearing jet planes flying over.
Mm-hmm.
And then interstate highways were in relative proximity, and you could hear those. Even though you're out in the boonies out there up on the ridge, you could hear the interstate
highway. It's like you can never get away from the internal combustion engine, no matter how hard you try. We've got, 21 towns and cities along the way? I imagine hiking is pretty important to their local economies.
I probably wouldn't call them cities. You know, they're smaller towns. And, yeah, it's very important. And they're very receptive. There's just a very good camaraderie between hikers and the local people.
You've got to get off the trail to get into these towns, and that entails hitchhiking, which is kind of a perilous thing in itself. A lot of people don't do that anymore because it's because of fears of crime or running into a serial killer or some kind of a dangerous situation.
The first hitchhike, and I can't remember the last time I hitchhiked, probably back when I was a teenager. I don't know what was wrong with the guy, but I climbed in his little pickup after I struggled to get my backpack in the bed. And it was in Georgia. We were going to Hiwassee. And he drove, I guess he was a race car driver wannabe or something. We squalled around every curve, and I was never so glad to get out of a vehicle in my life. I was so happy I gave him $5 for his trouble. And, the hitchhiking, I was never comfortable with.
As somebody who, I used to hitchhike when I was in my teens and 20s, and every once in a while you'd get into a car and immediately wish you hadn't done that.
Yeah, that was exactly the case with this guy. Yeah.
2616371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Wausau, you're on Route 51 talking to George Sandel. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Back in 97, a friend and I didn't thru-hike the Appalachian Trail, but we hiked and drove up to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, and we covered a lot of distance, and there was a lady about 5 minutes ago on your show who... She and her husband hiked the Appalachian Trail. It was the greatest experience of their life. And she talked about the
and
freedom
in St. Germain.
Exactly. And she talked about just, you know, the freedom of just getting away from everyday life. You know, you just have your backpack, the supplies in your backpack, your shoes on your feet, and off you go. And a good friend to enjoy your time with, and off you go. And as an adult, I think that camping trip back in 97 was really one of the few times I've ever experienced that kind of levity, that kind of relaxation. And it was very meditative.
How far in the wilderness were you in Alaska?
In Alaska, we did the most of our hiking in Denali. And Denali is chunked up into large territories like counties. And they actually have a limitation on the number of hikers within a county, I guess.
You encounter any bears while you were up there? George encountered a lot of black bears on the, on his trek. And I don't worry about black bears, but grizzlies and brown bears, I've got a very definite respect and fear for.
Bears were never an issue. We were always saying, "Hey bear, hey bear, hey bear," or little bells in our backpacks were rattling away. Our primary concern were female moose. They actually trample more people than you know, bears eat people, etc. And we ran into a lot of moose. Their population is very healthy in Alaska, so that was kind of what we paid attention to.
What you're talking about, I can't think of anything that brought me more pleasure than camping out in the middle of nowhere. Knowing that pretty much there wasn't another human being on earth that knew where I was at. And also, it's a pretty rigid schedule to do a through hike, but still, I knew that all I had to do was get up and hike 15 miles and I was done for the day. I didn't have to pay bills and go through all those other things that we normally associate with everyday living. So I relate well with what you're saying about.
And maybe, George, sometimes what we think is so important in everyday living really isn't as important as the fundamentals, the basics.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Rex in Rhinelander. Rex, you're on Route 51 talking to George Sandel. Hello, Rex.
Hi. Hi, George.
Hi, Rex.
Hi. I thru-hiked the AT in 07, and like you mentioned, you see some of the best
Rex, you're breaking up. It says here on the computer screen that you did the trail in 2007 and loved the people. Can you move around and maybe get a better signal for us?
Oh, sure. Is it okay now?
It's better now, yeah. So just stand right there.
You know, one thing about the AT, you see the neatest animals, and you camp in the coolest spots, stealth camping, and vistas and overlooks and sunrises and sunsets. But the thing that really hit me hard about the trail was you meet the neatest people you'll ever find in the world on the Appalachian Trail, just the finest people. And it's almost like a family when you're hiking. It's like I hiked northbound, and it was like a family of about 80 to 100 of us.
Yeah, I met a guy in Virginia that we became lifelong friends. I was hiking with a man named Buffalo Bobby at the time, and he drove us out to a really nicely set up double wide, which I think he just kept there just for through hikers. And it, like you say, it was just really a neat feeling.
Rex, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate
it.
You do meet the nicest people. You were talking in your book, George, about trail angels, which I guess is another bit of jargon. Tell us about that.
Okay, trail angels and trail magic kind of go together. There's probably basically 2 to 3 requirements or things that you're looking for, either food, lodging, or a ride to town. And there never was a lack of somebody there to volunteer whatever it is you wanted. Some of the things were just things that stay with you. I remember walking around a corner in a trail, and there was a can of Coleman fuel, which we used in our little cook stoves, just sitting there, just saying, help yourself. Walk through another area where you'd go about 25, 30 feet, and it would be like a Snickers bar or a candy bar or a can of soda, just all the way through. There must have went on for maybe 150 feet, those kinds of things.
How is it that a place like the Appalachian Trail even exists? It must have taken quite a commitment to conservation, and there had to have been some battles with developers along the way to link all of these national and state and county parks along the entire eastern seaboard.
I can't imagine just what all they went through. A man named Benton McKay, way back in the 20s, it was kind of his brainchild, and then a Myron Avery joined forces with him, and between the two of them, they got the ball rolling. As far as all that entailed to establish it as it is and to maintain it, it's certainly information that's readily available, but it's a long, complex story. Most of it's maintained, well, I'd say all of it's maintained by volunteers, and there's thousands of volunteers. Every time I encountered one, which I saw a number of them, I'd stop and thank them and say, you know, I couldn't do this if it wasn't for your efforts.
And George, you're also active in protecting and preserving some of our local trails like the Ice Age Trail. What do people have to do if they want to get involved with that locally?
I would call a man named Dick Pernsteiner. He is the local coordinator for Ice Age Trail activities in Marathon County. Just a wonderful man. We've done a lot of stuff this summer. And there are publications kind of scattered around in different waiting rooms and stuff like that. But the information is out there.
You write, in our lives of convenience and amenities, there is always a tendency to find the easier way. The modern way of thinking, however, through hiking is not about doing it the easy way. Through hiking is a world devoid of convenience, a time and a place where we choose to forsake all of that and proclaim our independence. And what a wonderful feeling that is.
I remember overlooking the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I sat there like I was not a part of it, that I was just observing from afar. And I can remember what a nice feeling that was, that I wasn't a part of that, that my world was totally different, and that I didn't need all of these conveniences, and that I could survive just fine. Survive probably isn't the right word, that I could make it just fine without that. So, yeah.
You also write, hiking the trail was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. Would you do it again?
I'm not sure I could do it again. I don't know if Chris would want to go through that again. It definitely physically was difficult. One of the things that it did leave some scars. My toes are really messed up. They feel numb most of the time. I did have a podiatrist look at them, and he really didn't think that any permanent damage was done. But I probably better leave it alone. I do have a short hike planned next summer. Brother-in-law and I are planning on hiking Isle Royale up to Lake Superior. But as far as long-distance hiking, probably not.
George Sandel, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn. I really appreciate it being on the show.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
We want to thank today's guest, George Old Lonesome Smoky Sandel, whose new book about hiking the Appalachian Trail is called The Road to Damascus and Beyond. You can find out more on his website, georgesandel.com, and a reminder that George will be signing copies of his book Saturday from 12 until 2 in the afternoon at Yankees Bookstore in downtown Wausau. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer, our online producer, Scott Clark. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Today's special music selections were from Fats Domino, Hank Williams, and two different Roy Rogers, Roy Rogers the Blues Man, and Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, the Cowboy Singers. A reminder that you can communicate with us now on Twitter and Facebook. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/Route51Show. On Facebook, put Route 51 in the search bar and click our fan page. Next week at this time, we'll be talking to Jean-Michel Cousteau, live in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios at UW-Stevens Point, about his life as an undersea explorer and how he is carrying on the work of his famous father. I'll be filling in for Ben Marins on the At Issue program all next week. Thanks again for riding or hiking along with us today, and until next week, happy trails. We're heading out of town.
Happy trails.